Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
See, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, January 24th, 2024. This is the year we discuss war because it's happening all around us, despite the fact that most people don't even realize, just because there aren't tanks rolling through the streets and planes flying overhead dropping bombs and things like that, guys rappelling out of helicopters in broad daylight or in, you know, ninjas at night, doesn't mean we're not at war. It's primarily psychological in nature. The aspects all sort of relate back to bending your will to that of another and not your own. And certainly not allowing God to decide for anyone. That really is the ultimate end game. So speaking of war and emergencies, I mentioned Madison, you know, I mentioned the debt retirement parties. It's an election year. Who's benefiting from the border crisis, for example? I think that Anduril, Peter Thiel's new pet project, another one of those companies like Palantir, born out of the Lord of the Rings, which should tell you something, I think. What? Esoteric, alchemical, metaphysical nonsense. That's what I would call it. But, you know, and, well, anyway. Yeah. So, I mentioned the emoluments, you know, Mike Gatti. I mentioned his own personal story and how he has spoken on air about knowing someone who took public office, held public office, and that individual's net worth skyrocketed as a result of holding office. And so he was, Mike Gatti says, you know, he confronted him about this, and that was not something this person wanted to talk about for obvious reasons. And that should be, you know, so we have this little cottage industry going on. I mentioned that I joke, those who, you know, the old adage, those who can do, those who can't teach, goes back to the days of Aristotle, who observed those who know, do, those who understand, teach. And then George Bernard Shaw in Man and Superman, back in 1903, Maxim 36, Shaw quipped, "He who can does, he who cannot teaches." Sort of turning the Aristotelian maxim on its head. And I say, he who can does, he who cannot creeps to the privilege of political incumbency. Because, my goodness, you know, you get it all. You get diplomatic immunity. You get, you know, people seeking to ingratiate themselves to you. And, you know, like Madison said, in time of war, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied. And it's a ripple effect. And the crumbs just sort of sprinkle out from there, if that makes sense. Just ask the Biden family. Biden crime syndicate. They're not the only ones, by the way. It's amazing. It really, truly is astonishing to me that, you know, Joe Biden has a conversation with, what's his name? Richard N. Haas and Michael Carpenter. And, you know, Biden unabashedly spills the beans. So, you know, they're walking to the press conference. I said, you know, you're not getting the $1 billion. If you're not going to fire the prosecutor, the state prosecutor, you're not getting the $1 billion. And he said, you're not the president. And I said, call him. Everybody laughs. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. And I looked at my watch. I'm here for about 6 hours. I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the state prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a gun, what do you know? He got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time. This guy is in the White House now. This is a Chicago shakedown. Unbelievable. Astonishing. This guy's in the White House. But it's a reflection on us as Americans, because we played the one clip, Walter Williams, yesterday, right? Played the one, why the founders did not want a democracy. And basically, you know, the clip is Walter Williams. We could play that. You know, there's so many we could play every day. Any politician who would rigorously live up to his oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution, he just would not get elected to office by the American people. Why? Because everybody wants their elected representatives to steal from others and give to their constituents. Robbing hoods. Robbing someone else's hood, you know, to give to their hood. It's amazing. And so his point was, politicians reflect the views, values and views of the American people, is what he said. I would say it's not really theirs. It's the influence. It's influenced people. But still, we should take responsibility. So yeah, let's say our values and views. Take responsibility for ourselves. I mean, is it possible to argue that our own ignorance of our own political system that is supposed to be allegedly, ostensibly, of, by, and for the people, our ignorance of it, is that someone else's responsibility or fault? Anyway, astonishing a guy can sit there and brag about a crime. And then end up even further up in the White House, in the political chain of command, so to speak, or food chain, I guess, maybe in this case. Anyway, Madison tells us, but we're talking about emergencies as relates to war. And, you know, same thing. Madison, again, a standing military force with an overgrown executive, will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. There's this widening gulf. You know, the Militia Act of 1903 was certainly, I would say, a line in the sand, a crossing of the Rubicon. No, that's okay. You don't need to take care of yourselves. We'll do it. We'll handle it. The National Guard, the modern National Guard, is a subset of the militia. Is it really? That's the rumor. Wikipedia says the new National Guard was to organize units of similar form and quality to those of the regular army. That's interesting, because that's not what the idea of Minutemen was. These were men who, you know, shopkeepers and whatever, who were ready at a moment's notice to defend their country. Can't have that, though, because, you know, we can't have continuity of government that way. Similar form and quality to those of the regular army, and intended to achieve the same training, education, and readiness requirements as active duty units. Well, it sounds maybe, you know, you can make a case for it, but it's obviously drifted in a particular direction. There's a widening gap. And as is always the case, we abdicate our own responsibility when these kinds of things happen. And bad guys know that. The devil knows that. Get the camel's nose under the tent, and the rest is history. Especially if you have bread and circuses. You know, in a generation or two, the old will die, the young will forget. And it'll be like, you know, the past never happened. We will rewrite history in the process anyway. So, big deal. Anyway, back to Senate Report 93-549 quickly. And its correlation to CRS Report 98-505, the September 18, 2001 entry. And what happens from there? Does it stop? No. That's kind of the point. Gotten worse. From 1914 to 2014, you know, it's an unbroken thread of war. Madison is right. Of all the enemies of public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded, because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. And how do we start behaving in this kind of a society? Everything's compartmentalized. You know, all of the historians tell us that. You read, you know, I mentioned Milton Mayer recently, Stephen Ambrose, what's his name? Daniel Jonah Goldhagen, Christopher Browning. You read these guys, and things go the same way. All of a sudden, there's a chilling in the community. Instead of getting together in the local pub or the local tavern or whatever, the local Grange Hall, whatever it is, all of a sudden, people become, you know, fearful and suspicious of one another. And in many cases, rightfully so. And all of a sudden, things take on a military tone everywhere. You know, everything is need to know. And you know, like Sun Tzu said, all warfare is based on deception. Things just start creeping that direction. And it goes from bad to worse. And then all of a sudden, you know, the gloves come off, as Kofor Black would say, and things really start to get ugly. Dehumanization is in full effect of everyone, including oneself. And it just goes from a state of bad to worse. Anyway, Senate Report 93-549. This is not a way. Madison is right. No nation could preserve its freedom or its humanity, may we say, in the midst of continual warfare. We've institutionalized war since we codified it in 1947 in the National Security Act of 1947, which took the things that should have been dismantled, really never should have existed, and institutionalized them in the national military establishment that Eisenhower soon after called the national military or the military industrial complex. And, you know, guys said things along the way. Harry Truman was concerned. JFK, according to the CIA itself, said that he was going to shatter it into 1,000 pieces. People have expressed concern. And yet, the thing lives on. And every time something's about to be dismantled, you know, in the 90s, for example, then all of a sudden we get a catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. What do you know about that? Did you know that the majority of the provisions of the National Security Act took effect on September 18, 1947? Just a funny coincidence. So, you know, 54 years after that, we get CRS 98-505. Anyway, Senate Report 93-549, the emergency power statutes provisions of federal law now in effect. This is 1973. Delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. Report of the Special Committee on the Termination of the National Emergency, United States Senate. What did the Senate discover? They employed the Air Force to help, to assist with the research, because the Air Force was the only organization with the computing power at the time, so the story goes, to help with, you know, digging through thousands and thousands of laws, statutes, et cetera, provisions of law, and so-called. Anyway, from the forward, since March 9, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. For what? And what happens in a time of national emergency, or in a state of emergency? You know, all of the normal thinking goes out the window. Sometimes literally. Remember my grandparents who lived above the laundromat they owned and ran, had this balcony that looked out onto the mill in Libby, Montana at the time. And they had rope ladders, basically, on either end of this long patio area or deck area on the second floor where, you know, if there was a fire, they could throw the ropes over and shimmy down real quick if they couldn't get out through a door. And ironically, that building burned after they sold it. That's perhaps painful irony. Anyway, they wouldn't ever, I mean, I don't remember them ever climbing down, shimmying down on the rope ladders, but they were there for an emergency. So in a time of emergency, going through the door might not even be a consideration. You do all these other weird things. We behave in strange ways and we normalize it because, hey, it's an emergency. We saw a lot of this during COVID, right? And some of this goes back to that peculiar phrase from the administrative world. Brandeis talked about it in United States versus Babcock. And generally the phrase is, when the state creates rights and individuals against itself, which is weird in our American lexicon, when the state creates rights and individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. So maybe vaccines are mandatory, masks are mandatory, social, unsocial distancing is mandatory, you know, however mistaken its exercise. Now we're seeing the reality of that. We're also seeing it in the gun confiscation stuff. There's just this open grab now, I think, in a rush to disarm Americans before 2025 and 2030. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
Tebow Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar it is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And the gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Welcome back. All right. So, finish this thought quickly. Really? Can you do anything quickly, Chris? Maybe. From the Senate report, 93-549. I feel like these things sort of fall on deaf ears because we've become so numb and so desensitized to these things. These should be a concern, according to the, you know, the orthodoxy of our constitutional republic, so-called. They're anathema. But do we remember any of that? Do we have any context? Do we have any historical context beyond the last 20 seconds? I don't know. That's cynical, but it's how I feel. Since March 9, 1933, the United States has been in a state of declared national emergency. In fact, there are now, in effect, four presidentially proclaimed states of national emergency. Again, this is a Senate report from 1973, 50 years ago. In addition to the national emergency declared by President Roosevelt in 1933, there are also the national emergency proclaimed by President Truman on December 16, 1950, during the Korean conflict. It wasn't a war. We didn't call it war back then because, you know, Congress didn't declare war. And the states of national emergency declared by President Nixon on March 23, 1970 and August 15, 1971. Interesting how, you know, speaking of August 15, 1971 and March 9, 1933, interesting how often emergency occurs centering around economic issues. That's a side discussion. Continuing, these proclamations give force to 470 provisions of federal law. These hundreds of statutes delegate to the president extraordinary powers ordinarily exercised by the Congress, which affect the lives of American citizens in a host of all-encompassing manners. And by the way, they talk in the report about how 470 was what they whittled down from thousands that they identified. So they just cherry-picked 470, for example. There are thousands more. Continuing. So, extraordinary powers? Like what? This vast range of powers taken together confer enough authority to rule the country without reference to normal constitutional processes. This is 1973. It's worse since then. Especially, obviously, in the post-9/11 world. Under the powers delegated by these statutes, the president may seize property, organize and control the means of production, seize commodities, assign military forces abroad, institute martial law, seize and control all transportation and communication, regulate the operation of private enterprise, restrict travel, and in a plethora of particular ways, control the lives of all American citizens. Interesting. And so from there, you skip forward to, so was the national emergency terminated? No. But Senate report, or excuse me, CRS report 98-505 explains a little bit from that report. Finally, apart from the Constitution, but resulting from its prescribed procedures, there are statutory grants of power for emergency conditions. The president is authorized by Congress to take some special or extraordinary action, ostensibly to meet the problems of government governing effectively in times of exigency. Ostensibly? Interesting choice of words. Sometimes these laws are only of temporary duration. The Economic Stabilization Act of 1970, for example, allowed the president to impose certain wage and price controls for about 3 years before it expired automatically in 1974. But there's more. Stick around. We'll finish this thought when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Bottom of the second hour, a couple of things real quick. We'll go to the phones. So, again, just sort of continuing from the Senate Report 98-505, there are a lot of other dots and breadcrumbs we could sprinkle in, but in the interest of time, we'll just keep it to these few. So, again, it's interesting how, just continuing, the Economic Stabilization Act of 1970 gave the president emergency authority to address a crisis in the nation's economy. Again, it's interesting how many of these things tie back to economic issues. Historically, that's a different discussion for a different day. Of course, many of these laws are continuously maintained or permanently available, not just temporary, as the previous paragraph mentioned, available for the president's ready use in responding to an emergency. Again, this is CRS Report 98-505. The September 18, 2001 update. The Defense Production Act, originally adopted in 1950 to prioritize and regulate the manufacture of military material, is exemplary of this type of statute. Lastly, there are various standby laws which convey special emergency powers once the president formally declares a national emergency, activating them. In 1973, a Senate Special Committee studying emergency powers published a compilation identifying some 470 provisions of federal law. Again, it was actually thousands more. They whittled it down to that number just to use those for illustrative purposes, delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. The vast majority of them are of the standby kind, dormant until activated by the president. However, formal procedures for invoking these authorities, accounting for their use and regulating their activation and application were established a while ago by the National Emergencies Act of 1976. Well, there you go. It's all perfectly legal now, right? Crimes of state are always legalized ahead of time. It's interesting, if you go to the Wikipedia entry for Declaration of War by the United States, you will discover, for example, that W argued that the AUMF resulting, you know, the HJ Res 77, January 12, 1991, you know, Daddy Bush's administration, that AUMF never expired. And, you know, the Bush 2 administration quickly was able to produce CRS Report 98-505, which mentions disingenuously Senate Report 93-549 in the efforts of this Senate Special Committee to terminate the national emergency. And then, you know, you ask yourself, why the AUMF, the post 9/11 AUMF, was the authorization for use of military force in Iraq. Why did it have to be renewed for, you know, decades? Why has it been used all over the world? Brown University's Watson Institute, in their, you know, costs of war, whatever you call it, program, I want to say, they've done some homework on this, including a paper they did back in 2021, the 2001 authorization for use of military force, comprehensive look at where and how it has been used all over the world. How is that possible? And so they say in their report, between 2018 and 2020, the United States government undertook what it labeled counterterrorism, quote unquote, activities in 85 countries. Those are just what have been identified. But it was originally, this one is the 2001 authorization for use of military force in Iraq. And of course, you know, fast forward 85 countries. There was a piece, Lawfare piece, back in 2021 about Congress voting to repeal the AUMF, 2001 AUMF, you know, for authorization of military use of military force in Iraq. Anyway, the Lawfare article is titled Repealing the Zombie Iraq AUMF and S in parentheses. a clear win for constitutional hygiene, but unlikely to end forever wars. Current congressional action related to the possible repeal of outdated force authorizations against Iraq that have been used, again, according to Brown University's study, in 85 countries just between 2018 and 2020 alone. 85 countries. Will do little, back to the article, to affect the executive branch's use of military force behavior in the region. And they start, you know, and I'll leave it at this and we'll go to the phones, but, you know, on June 17, the House of Representatives voted in favor of a resolution introduced by Representative Barbara Lee to repeal the 2002 authorization for use of military force against Iraq. A similar measure is expected to pass in the Senate to be signed by President Biden. Lee argued that, quote, this authorization no longer serves any operational purpose. As long as it remains on the books, the law is susceptible to further abuse by any president. And it's really not the president, is it? This whole industry, and it's so much further beyond this. You know, I mean, again, R.J. Hillhouse and Tim Shorrock told us 15 years ago in 2007 and 8, respectively, I believe. And then, of course, you know, you get Dana Perino and William Arkin after that. Top Secret America telling us that, you know, over and over we hear that the military-industrial complex is largely outsourced. We know that. Who makes this stuff and who manages the intel? It's big business. It's the big 87654, you know, whatever, 321 that are gathering and managing the intel. Why wouldn't you want that? Just ask Peter Thiel. He'll tell you why you would. And if you have a problem with that, maybe we'll stir up some crowdsondemand.com in strategy of tension, you know, Gladio archetype strategy of tension sort of fashion to make sure that you understand why you want me on that wall, why you need me on that wall. This is how it is. And, you know, oh, I think awareness helps. I think awareness is the first step. Let's go to the phones. Ken in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Ken.
I'm here.
Hey, Ken.
There we go. I heard, I just got clicked in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, gosh, where to start? You cover so much ground, even from when I called. We're really in a world of hurt because all these other wars, I think, are a word I made up called an ACRA, which I labeled as another classic redirect attempt. Because with the Trading with the Enemies Act, they declared that all U.S. citizens were enemies of the state. So the constant warfare scenario is directed against us, and
yep,
that's why they're able to get by with all the things that they're doing and, you know, create all these fake elections and stuff. It's all to manipulate the people to continue their, well, to continue the military-industrial complex to try to be non-verbose.
Yeah, absolutely. That, I think, is a big concern, you know, that we have this monstrosity now, this hydra that sprawls out in so many different directions. Who controls it? You know, there are arguably some forces that may have some control over it. But, I mean, when you start thinking about the fact that war making has been institutionalized and the Machiavellian aspects of it have been institutionalized and outsourced, you know, that organizations like Rand Corporation work for the highest bidder, no matter where they are, who they are, really indiscriminately. And the War College is kind of the same thing. You know, all of these defense contractors and intel contractors, they're working with everybody. You know, speaking of the Brown report that I mentioned, they point out in their studies that 79 in those efforts from 2018 to 2020, 79 of the 85 are counterterrorism training in different countries. And so what is happening? You know, what is the blowback of that? I think of the story I tell of Operation Cyclone creating the Mujahideen, which in turn becomes the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, et cetera. It's the incubator and the model out of which all these others are birthed. So is the same thing happening, for example, in these 79 counterterrorism training operations? Are we sowing into the seed beds of, you know, these kinds of...
Yeah, we absolutely are. And there's no greater demonstration of it than what started with COVID. You know, I was already outspoken before COVID started. Then when COVID started, I was up in the Pacific Northwest living in Spokane. I never saw anything like it. I was contact traced like you can't imagine. And in fact, one of my favorite stories about all of that is when I went to sell my property in the Sandpoint area. And I drove up there with my realtor and his wife. And once we left pavement to drive up the mountain to get to my property, the contact tracer's cell phone signal would no longer work. Anyhow, long story short, I'm leaving out all kinds of details, but we got to the bottom of the hill, and there were three cars sitting there waiting with people sitting there with their cell phones. And in a certain sense, it was a great moment because I was able to show to people, see, I told you this was happening.
And Washington Governor Jay Inslee was telling people, I mean, we played clips, as you know. I mean, Inslee just said it straight out. We're going to send people to the houses, you know, to grab people for a couple of weeks, and we'll take care of them so you don't have to worry about it. We're going to snatch and grab you and take you somewhere in the contact tracing that you're talking about. He talked about that too, and, you know, unbelievable. That's a crazy story.
Right, and I could give you many examples of things that happened, and they were extremely aggressive at first, but they backed off a little bit when, you know, their tactics didn't completely work against me. But, you know, it still gets to you if somebody hassles you and hassles you and hassles you, you know, and eventually, you know, you blow off some steam. But, you know, thank goodness for the yoke of Christ. But
amen.
What I called to really talk about, but I wanted to throw that part out there because it's very important to what I'm about ready to say, is that the Civil War has already started. I mean, it's one thing to have our borders overrun, but when we have our own people turning in their own neighbors, their own other, and I use the word citizen with air quotes, turning in their own other citizens, then the war has already started, and we're in deep weeds. So, anyhow, I just had to call and vent about that a little bit, because with the Trading with the Enemies Act, where we've been declared, you know, enemy status, it's why they're able to get by with, you know, the active denial deployment. Oops, I mean 5G. And get by with all these things. But I really appreciate what you're doing, and, you know, I just, to do what you do day in and day out, really takes somebody with some intestinal fortitude and obviously the yoke of Christ. So I thank you and bless you, Chris. Really appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Ken, and bless you, sir. Much appreciated. As always.
I'll get back to listening. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Yeah. You know, those kinds of stories, you know, if you've had an encounter like that, I think the thing that is most disconcerting is to feel like there are people who, you know, we have all of this rhetoric in American society, land of the free, home of the brave, like the late great Jack Otto said it was only the land of the free as long as it was the home of the brave. And I think that was the World War II generation, by and large, to generalize. But it's very disconcerting when you realize in a very real way, like what Ken described, that there are people who just, can and have been trained to believe they can indiscriminately reach right through anything into your life and grab you and whatever they want. And that they have some, you know, legal or government sanctioned authorization to do so indiscriminately. Isn't this the kind of stuff we heard in the early days of the post 9/11 era? You know, the Abu Ghraib type stuff? Just saying. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome back. The real concern, I think, is, you know, speaking of what we're talking about, I mean, the real concern that's on the horizon, because I agree with what Ken said, is the Bolshevik guard that is on the way. I read from Jack Otto's World War III about the Bolshevik guard. And maybe I'll do that again, but people just don't have any comprehension. And we see that, you know, both sides of the conflict shaping up, and I would argue that both sort of Bolshevik. The one side, obviously Bolshevik, the other, the Christian crusaders, the Zionist Christian crusaders, don't realize it. I was going to play a couple of clips from the video that I mentioned yesterday. Maybe we'll get to that tomorrow. But, you know, John Lovell and Chad Wright talking and mentioning names like G.K. Chesterton, C.S. Lewis, and Mark Driscoll, of all people, Francis Schaeffer. These are not, this is not a good thing, William Lane Craig. If they're not in the Seven Mountain Mandate crowd, they're not far removed. They're hop, skip, and a jump from there. The Christian Crusaders, the Sacred Purge Crusaders, which is the equal and opposite counterpart of the Luciferian Lucius Trust Work of the Hierarchy. Read it and compare notes. The main fields of hierarchical enterprise are seven in number and have been listed as follows. They're the same. They're identical. The Seven Mountain Mandate is theosophical. It's satanic. What is to be done, dear comrades? I'm not trying to scare anybody. Genuinely, I'm not. Because I know Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm not trying to scare anyone. The fearful and unbelieving, don't be that crowd. Be the fearless and believing. And so Ken's admonition, you know, thank goodness for the yoke of Christ. That's good stuff. The quintessential verse is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thanks for mentioning that, Ken. I appreciate it. And I agree wholeheartedly. Be fearless and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Best you can do. There is nothing better. Let the Holy Spirit guide and, you know, read your Bible. I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying as always. It truly is an honor and a pleasure. Please pray for one another and support the network. Thanks to those who do. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk.